I almost forget how to flip the switch. But. Well, good morning. This is not a mirage. I am Steve, former minister of, director of ministries, and left a couple of months ago, and as a famous movie star once said, as soon as I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. I am here for assisting Pastor Ray during our transition time of pastoral leadership. So I'm glad to be back. I'll be here daily. If you need anything or have any questions, whatever, I'll be glad to help. And glad to work with Pastor Ray, and I'm basically here on loan indefinitely, so we'll see how it goes, right? But it's good to see you. Welcome to Hope on the Beach. We're so glad you're here, and we just want you to feel at home today, and you're special to us, and so we're welcoming you with open arms. You have a bulletin. And in it, you have all the information you'll need for the week, announcements about every event, and you'll also have a connection card where if you're new to us, you can give us some info so we can say hello. So we do love to know you're here in case we miss you. Now, with our rain out on the beach today, it's not hard to miss you. We can see this number, but we'd love to have that connect card from you if we can. So I want to just have a word of prayer, and then we will get into our worship time with Roberta, all right? Father, we thank you for just the opportunity to gather in your house and to be with your people and to come before your throne. And so we thank you for this opportunity, and we just pray that you are free to speak to our hearts today. May we hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and worship.
All right, so this song is, I want to teach it to you. You probably know it. It's called I Know a Name. You know, I found myself calling out to Jesus and calling his name sometimes when I'm on my hands and knees begging for mercy. Sometimes when I just don't understand what's going on. And sometimes when I need healing or my wife may need healing. And sometimes a body, the body of Christ, needs healing and just needs to call out the name, Jesus, we need you. Because he is faithful. Here's how it goes. I call you Jesus. I call you Healer, risen and reigning in power, something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior. worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name.
You guys got it. The lyrics are in the bulletin, by the way.
I know a name.
Yeah.
That can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. I have a king,
yeah,
with dominion over death. He holds the key. In his holy nail-scarred hands, he is the heel that has crushed a serpent's head. Our resurrection great I am. I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Hallelujah. Every time I call your name, every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones wake. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell shake. Every time I call your name, chain break, dry bones break. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell break. Every time I call your name, I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave,
yeah,
every time I call your name,
Jesus.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest. And without you I fall apart.
You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh, where you are, oh, I am free. Oh, holiness is Christ in me. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
We say amen to that, right? I'm going to have you pray with me because I need your prayers. And let's go. Lord Jesus, we thank you for a new day in which you've brought us to. And we ask that you bless our time together. Be with our other beach service. Be with Christian as he preaches your word this morning. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The ushers are going to bring in buckets of sand to throw on the floor so you can take your shoes off. This morning, you know, last night we got this text. We're always gambling here, in a good way, watching the Weather Channel. You know, like, is it going to rain? Is it not going to rain? And I was praying for sunshine, and they had called the service last night, and they got the lightning and thunder this morning, so they were kind of excited about that they made the right call. It's always one of those things. So we're glad that you're here. We're really glad you're here. I am half beach. Half church, they have jeans and the shirt. What is that noise out there? Yeah, we'd be sitting in that, wouldn't we? Yeah, we have umbrellas. We'll be all right out there. How many of you have pet peeves? You have a pet peeve? Yeah, I know my wife's raised her hand twice. So I have a pet peeve, and she'll agree with me on this one. Have you ever spent the night in a hotel and noticed that the lighting there was really poor? you kind of like turn lights on, you go, is this it? And then you get in the bathroom and it's even worse. The lighting in the bathroom is especially bad. Although that has its advantages, I look a lot better in dim lighting, okay? So you go like, wow, I don't look so bad, you know? Yeah. I hear you. So, but there are people who live that way. They love living in the dark, in the shadows. The reason being is because they don't want people to see how they really are. They hide. You can hide your blemishes if you're living in the dark. And this morning we're going to be talking about when the light reveals the truth. Light exposes things as they truly are. And we'll be talking about Jesus, the light of the world. He didn't come to bring the light. He came to be the light. A few weeks ago, we heard these words from John chapter 3. Listen carefully. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. That's Jesus. And people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. So in our text this morning, we're going to be seeing the Jewish leaders who are actually living in the dark. They had tried to get Jesus arrested before by the temple guards, but it failed. And so they had to devise a plot to try to catch him, a trap, if you will. So listen to how this plays out, because Jesus not only exposes the darkness, but he gives hope. All right, here we go. You ready? It's in your bulletin. John 8, verses 1 through 12. The disciples went one way, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, and that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground, and as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." So our story begins in the temple court. They just had the Feast of the Tabernacle, so the city was pretty crowded with people. So if you can imagine, these Jewish leaders were bringing this woman through the crowd, because every time Jesus spoke, people crowded around him. So they're having to kind of work their way through, coming through. And so this woman who was caught in the act of adultery, if you can remember, she probably was half-dressed or half-naked, however you want to look at it, and they were dragging her through the crowd to get Jesus' attention. So she's embarrassed. Jesus is interrupted, and these men push their way through. These were the teachers of the law, religious leaders. But the thing is they had dark and evil motivation for bringing this woman to Jesus. They didn't care about this woman. And they said this woman was caught in adultery. So what do you say? Now, there's two choices here. It's kind of like a yes or no. If Jesus were to say, "Stone her," he would be breaking the Roman law, because the Roman law would not allow the Jews to kill anyone. Do you remember when Jesus was crucified, they had to go before the Romans to get permission to have Jesus crucified. So if Jesus said, stone her, he would be breaking Roman law. If Jesus said, let her go, he would be breaking the Jewish law in respect for what Abraham had taught, or the law of Moses, actually. Either way, it was a lose-lose for Jesus. Are you dumb or stupid? Okay, you give a choice. So this won't be the last time that they test Jesus. They kept trying, they kept putting traps before him. Do you remember the time when they would ask him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Remember that question they would ask him? If Jesus said it's right to pay taxes to Caesar, all those people who despise Caesar would be upset with Jesus. If Jesus said, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, then they got him. They'll report him to the Romans, and then he would be in trouble with the Romans. So what does Jesus do? He picks up a coin, and he says, whose likeness is on this coin? And they say, Caesar's. Then he says, well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. He got out of that pretty well, didn't he? Well, that wasn't good enough for them. The Sadducees came up to him and says, Master, this woman, she's been married 7 times. And remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in life after death. When you're dead, you're dead. So this woman, she's been married 7 times. So in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in, whose wife will she be of the 7 men that she'd been married to? So their point was, there is no resurrection. Now, Jesus says to them, you're wrong because you don't know the scriptures or God's power. For in the resurrection, there's no marrying or giving in marriage, one. And number two, as far as the resurrection of the dead, didn't you read that God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. So they had to walk away going like, wow, you know, what a brilliant answer. Well, that was the Sadducees. Well, the Pharisees are in competition. The Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and they gathered together and they say, Master, they think they're very smart. Which of the Ten Commandments is the greatest? They thought they had a smart question. Remember that? And what does Jesus tell them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And at that point, they stopped asking questions. This is Jesus. And the point is this. We as human beings by nature are sinful and unclean. And people to this day try to discredit Jesus, or they try to discredit the Word of God. What about this? What about this contradiction, which there are no contradictions in Scripture? But it's continually going on. The devil is the author of confusion. The devil is the father of lies. And he was the father of lies and confusion since the Garden of Eden, when Eve partook of the fruit, and he still is at work today in our world. But back to our story, okay? This woman was truly caught, was guilty of adultery. Nothing in our text suggests that she was innocent. And the Pharisees wouldn't have been so stupid to bring an innocent woman before Jesus. So we know that she was probably guilty of adultery. But that's not the whole story. You see, under Mosaic law, you can't have adultery with one person. There's a second person involved, the man. And according to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, both man and woman were to be put to death. Both man and the woman were to be put to death. And there had to be 2 witnesses that saw the very act. They couldn't say, well, she walked into his house or he walked into her house. That doesn't prove anything. They had to be seen, the act had to be seen by 2 witnesses. So these religious leaders are saying they saw the woman in the act of adultery. Well, if that's true, where is the man? The text doesn't tell us. So if these scribes and Pharisees are so righteous to uphold God's law, why didn't they? Because they didn't. They should have brought them in. But they thought, well, you know what? We've got the woman, that should be good enough. Well, in court, it would have been, the Jewish court, it would have been thrown out because you need both people. So they asked Jesus, what do you say? So the trap is laid. What does Jesus do? He bends down and he starts writing in the dirt, probably sand, maybe dust. And it wasn't because Jesus was stalling for an answer. You know, that's one of the things in Scripture, when you read the Bible, you wish you had more information on. What was this? What was Jesus writing in the dirt with his finger? We don't know. This is the only time in the New Testament, though, that we hear that Jesus wrote anything. This says he wrote. And if you think about it, the finger of Jesus writing in the dust is really the finger of God. Why is that important? Well, because the finger of God is mentioned in the Old Testament. Remember when Moses was given the Ten Commandments? And let me read to you what it says. And when God had finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Written with the finger of God. And the Bible says God's law is not just written on paper, it's written in the hearts of men. That's where God's law is written. It's in your heart. And so lean in, this even gets better. Are you ready? Jeremiah the prophet wrote this about the coming Messiah. This is in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah writes, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forgotten the Lord, the spring of living water. Yeah, awesome. He predicted this would be taking place. But we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to ask Jesus, what exactly did you write in the dirt? But whatever Jesus wrote, it had an impact on the men who are watching, obviously. Jesus answers them, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. With those words, he exposed what was hidden in the darkness, because now people aren't just looking at the woman. They're looking at the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're looking at them going like, oh, you're our leaders. And what Jesus is saying is, look at your own heart. And they're all looking at themselves. Wow, we're all sinners. Even the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They're thinking about themselves and what Jesus is saying. You want to apply the law? Okay, let's apply the law. He didn't deny, he applied the law, and no one can stand in God's light according to God's law. And the Bible talks about God's law. And I'm going to give a little bit of a Bible study here off. We're going to kind of do a segue here if you don't mind. We talk about the law in three different ways. We talk about what we call the first use of the law. It's called the curb. If you think of what a curb does on the road, you're not supposed to hit the curb, but it's there for you to keep you straight, right? It acts as a barrier, much like keeps the car on the road and keeps you safe. That's what a curb does. That's what the law of God does. The second thing is the law acts like a mirror. And it's called the second use of God's law. And when you look into a mirror, you see who you are. And it shows how we fail to keep God's command and that we're guilty. Because if you don't have a standard, then you don't know, you know, what's going on. So you look at the law of God and you see yourself in the mirror. And it reflects your sinfulness and your need for forgiveness. And the third use of the law is a guide or a rule we talk about. It serves as an instructional book for us. We have the book that we say we should follow. You see, what happens in our society is that our truth, now hang on to this if you want to write this down, truth determines your laws. You agree with me on that? Truth determines your laws. Laws determine your freedom. And your freedom determines your way of life. Let me say that again. Truth determines your laws. Your laws determine your freedom. And your freedom determines your way of life. And what we're doing in America is we want our way of life to determine the truth. Therefore, your truth determines the law, which determines how you live. It's totally backwards. We've gotten it totally backwards in our society that we live. So Jesus says, let anyone among you who is without sin throw the first stone. Well, according to the law, no one was qualified but Jesus. And suddenly, it's not just the woman who's guilty. It's the scribes and the Pharisees and the people standing around. And remember, Jesus said this, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here we have Jesus looking at the Pharisees, and they're going like, man, we're guilty. And the light not only exposes our physical actions, but it exposes our heart action. God knows what's in your heart. So when they heard this, the words of Jesus, they all started going away, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with this woman. And why the older ones? Well, because the theory is that maybe because as you age, you start to realize how imperfect you really are. The older ones started leaving, and eventually everyone left. And now there's Jesus and this woman standing. And that's not necessarily good news. Not yet, anyway. Jesus didn't say no stones need to be thrown. He only said he who is without sin can cast the first stone. And the only one qualified to do that was Jesus. So what would Jesus do? Would he pick up a rock and start the stoning at this point? Well, Jesus stood up and said, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more. Now, I want you to notice something maybe you've never noticed before. What did the woman call Jesus? Lord. No one, Lord. It's a statement of faith. It is a brief statement of faith, and she makes no excuses. And she stands there knowing that he's the Lord, waiting for him to render the verdict. And he was looking at her, and she was looking at him, and then he says, neither do I condemn you. Even though you've committed adultery, you can turn away. This is not just a parting from her past, it's a new beginning for her. And when people stand in the presence of Jesus, the light of the world, he exposes the sin in our lives. And we can do one of two things. We can walk away like these religious leaders and stay in our guilt. Or we can be like the woman and get a brand new start. You know, we may be tempted to think that the man was pretty lucky. He didn't get caught. He wasn't lucky at all. He didn't really get away with anything because God saw everything. And the woman wasn't so unlucky because she ended up meeting Jesus and having her life turned around. And the point is this, we are the woman in this story. We truly are guilty in the eyes of God. We've been caught in the very act of our sins, and we're helpless and unable to bring change in our lives. And we are doomed unless someone steps in and has grace and mercy upon us, and that person is Jesus Christ. We are condemned by our conscience. We're condemned by our guilt, and sometimes we're condemned by other people who say, you know, you've done this. And just when we are about to be condemned and sentenced, Jesus steps in and he says, let me take your sins to the cross and die for you. You know, a lot of people that day probably grumbled, well, this woman deserved to die. And Jesus is saying to them, you know what? Yeah, you're right. She does deserve to die. But let me take her sins because I'm going to die for her. I'm going to die for her. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. He forgives her sin and he sends her forth to live a brand new life. Even though she is guilty, by God's grace, she leaves with a brand new start. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, that the world might be saved through him. Then Paul wrote, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The difference between condemnation and conviction is this. Condemnation is from the devil, and it makes you pull back from God. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit, and it brings you to God. And this is what we see. Said to you that he would give you a brand new start this morning on your life. Brand new start. Start over. Would you take him up on it? This is not a hypothetical question. It's a promise in his word. And you don't have to wait. The opportunity is now. Are you hiding in the dark, hoping that maybe your sins won't be exposed? Are you hiding your self-righteousness, thinking that you don't need forgiveness? Come to Christ. He is the goodness of God. He is the good, good Father who leads you to repentance. And when the Savior, when you come to the Savior, he will say to you, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And if we had a memory verse, it would be this. I'm going to have you help me with it. Can you repeat after me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. You pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a new start this morning. Only you can make it happen. Lord, we want to stop making excuses for our behavior and start living by faith. And we ask you to forgive everything that we've ever done. And Lord, we'd like a clean slate to start all over. So we ask Jesus to put your spirit inside of us, forgive us, renew us, and fill us with your love. Lord, begin reshaping our lives this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for forgiving us. In the name of Jesus, we pray the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor. What a great word. And that's one of my favorite stories, because I always, somehow in my life, thinking I'm the guy that Jesus is saying, whoever's without sin, pick up a rock. And I'm always glad nobody ever did. So I love that story and the message behind it. Thank you, Pastor. We're going to take our morning offering this morning. And to do that, you have an envelope in your bulletin for placing your offering in, or you can go online and do it there, or mail us during the week, whatever, however you want to do it, because it's your money going to God's work. And so it's between you and him what you feel like you should give. But we want to give you an opportunity to do it here this morning. So our usher is going to come down the aisle, and you can put your offering in the plate as it comes by. All right? So we'll do that now.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountains, yeah, is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, oh, there's nothing, yeah, better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Nothing is better than you.
I want to introduce someone to you before we go. Mary Ann, you want to come join me here? This is, we haven't even met yet. I'm Steve. Good to see you. Yeah. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. And happy to be here.
Yeah, good luck to you.
This breeds confidence.
There you go. This is Mary Ann Walker, and Mary Ann is coming to join our staff. She is our Executive Director of Operations. That's a mouthful.
It is.
So yeah. Welcome. What I'm going to ask Mary Ann to do is come with me to the back, and you have a chance to welcome her, say hello, give her your name, so then she won't know anybody's, because they'll just all leave. So
yeah, my daughter back there knows she's supposed to be taking notes.
Okay, she's got you covered. All right, good. So Mary Ann starts in the morning, and we'll be around to what that fancy title means is she's going to handle anything related to the building, to the operations. Mostly she's our detailed gal,
yes.
All right? Because the rest of these boys don't have that. So we figured we better pay for it. So here she is, and we welcome her. So glad to get her to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we will start together.
Absolutely.
And we'll go from there. So I wanted you to meet her, know her name, Mary Ann, and greet her this morning as we go. So I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, and then Roberto will close us again with a song. Father, we thank you for the chance to be here. We thank you for your blessings over Hope. And we just pray that you continue to hold us in your hand. We're so grateful for Mary Ann becoming an addition to our staff, and we look forward to working together and just to the glory of your kingdom. So bless us as we leave from today. May we have heard your word, and may we go from here to be a doer. And so we thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty. turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grave into garden. Yeah. You turn bones into army. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing, yeah, better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. For ashes, you turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only. You're the only one who can.
Just the voices.
Oh, there's nothing, yeah, better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Hallelujah. As you go today to receive this blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you his peace. Amen. See you next week.